All right. Now, just, well, Pastor's kind of, the last couple times, he's given you guys a quiz. And I go, man, it's been 6 years since I've had a math class, so I'm going to give you a math question. There. John has measles, John is sick. John is sick, so John has measles. Are both statements true? What? What's wrong? Which one's wrong? He may be sick, but he may have the mumps. Okay, well, how about this next one? God is love, so love is God. True or false? Or would you rather I answered this one? Well, it's false, because God is alive and is a person. Love is not necessary, unless it's somebody's name. There's more to it. Also, when you think about love, I mean, most of you are old enough that you might have remembered, It didn't originate in the 60s, but I know it was a big thing during the Vietnam War where they said something like, make love and not war. Now, in that case, what they generally meant was to have sex, and sex is also not love. And it's one of those things where, and I think we've had more evidence of the fact in the last 50 years, because if sex was truly love, I think more of those 60 million babies would have been alive. But again, that isn't the topic. The topic is obedience. That's a nice one. What is obedience? Is it important? What's its purpose? Remember that word, submit? If I'm saved by faith, does it matter if I'm obedient? Now, to the thief on the cross, I would say no. He didn't have much time. We aren't saved by obedience. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's our belief, it's our faith that saves us. And it's a gift from God. It's kind of a mystery exactly, because it is something that we have and it is something that we work with, but it is still a gift from God. Obedience, it's important, but it's one of those things that it is a choice, and we go into it, the word choice, a lot, but I'm not going to go there either, because obedience is important. Go ahead and go to the next slide. From John 14, and I'm going to mostly focus on John 14 today, and actually one of the reasons I put this up here is because my message is up there. And even with these things, I can read this one, but if I really want to look at those slides, you know, they're dinky when you put them down to this paper size. So this is from John 14 and also from 2 John. But, and it's not 1 through 6, just 6. So If you love me, keep my commands. Jesus replied in later on in that same chapter, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Now, speaking of agape love, not eros, if we go to the Greek, they had four words for love. It might be better if we did too. But although we talk about it. But one of the things that this is, in some ways, it's a hard thing. Do you really think about expressing your love to God by being obedient? The other thing is that we put here, and we'll get into it more, but go ahead and go to the next slide. The greatest commandment, because if you're going to have obedience, you have to have obedience to something. Now, we're obedient to God in this case, is what I'm looking at, but there is obedience to each other. There is obedience our faithful walk is also, it can involve others. It isn't just our relationship between us and God, although a lot of this does speak to that also. But this commandment, you're obedient to a commandment. There's something, there's some object, there's some objective thing. It isn't just something where you've got this plethora of things where you can just do anything. There is standards that God set. And so, and Matthew says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, a couple things that I want to point out here is, one is, we are commanded also to love. And so it is part of the obedience, but it also says that love is our expression of obedience. But the other thing down here, all the law and the prophets, when Jesus was speaking, I hear people sometimes say, "Well, I follow Jesus, I only use the red letter words." And I said, if you have forgotten the rest of it, you haven't read all the red letter words either. But Jesus felt that the Old Testament was Scripture. Or it was. Go ahead and go to the next one. Now, there are many commands. In fact, this doesn't come, but as I was preparing this, these are just some, and we'll deal a little bit more with them later, but go and make disciples. Follow me. Forgive. Ask, seek, and knock. Did you think of that as a command? Now, with the Ten Commandments, I prayed about, Lord, how do there is Ten Commandments, and then down below the greatest commandments, but I said, what word really does this belong? And he said, the Ten Commandments honor. There's the ordinances, or in some people will refer to them as sacraments. When I grew up in the Lutheran Church, they were referred to as sacraments, but it's baptism, which is the public acknowledgement of repentance, which is turning from sin to faith in Christ. There's more to it, but that's just a simple little thing. And then there's communion, which we just practiced. Gratitude, thankfulness is commanded. And that last one, taking every thought captive. You ever think about that? It's a good thing to think on. Go ahead and go to the next one. The purpose. Now, there's probably more purposes than what I've got listed here. And actually, if you want copies, I forgot, but there is a copy of this back in the back if you'd like it. I thought it might be easier for you to follow along, but I forgot to announce it ahead of time. If you want to walk back and get one, it's not going to bother me. But the obedience builds faith. Obedience builds and encourages our faith. If you think about, especially you can think about Abraham, you can think about David, the more often they were obedient, their faith grew. They were always not obedient at times, but their faith grew. And then later on, If you think, I think about Abraham, I mean, the one thing is that really when it puzzles me, when I look at human nature, I say, the most amazing thing is that he actually stopped. Because at that time, child sacrifice was about like it is today. I mean, it was very common. And actually, as sacrifice, it's still practiced around the world. There are many places, in fact, some estimates over half the United Nations, it's legal to sell your children. And slavery certainly hasn't gone away. But what we want here is, and then also I want to put in here with that building of the faith and the encouragement, the Holy Spirit is involved in obedience. Without the Holy Spirit, which we get when as we're saved, and then we can also have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is present. Once you're saved, the Holy Spirit is present and available to you in your life. There is encouragement also in the Bible that you become baptized in the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit encourages and enables obedience. Without him, it makes it very much more difficult for us to be obedient because we will, well, also, obedience promotes relationship. Now, it's relationship with Christ, Jesus as our Savior, also as our Lord and King, and our friend and brother. There's other names I could probably put up there, but those are different relations we have. He is our Savior, but we also know that he is our King. He's our Lord. When he came the first time, the Jews were looking for a Messiah. They should have also been looking for a Savior because the Old Testament spoke of a suffering servant and a Savior also. But it was mixed in there. Again, that's not the story today. But he is our Lord and King. He was the Messiah then as well as the Savior. The body of Christ. Within the body of Christ, obedience supports and encourages us to encourage and help each other so that we can be available to each other in a proper way. If we're obedient to the Lord and we're obedient to the different structures that the Lord sets up, governmentally or even within the church, there is purpose for us to be obedient to our secular governments. We pay taxes. We do those things. The Bible does not tell us not to pay taxes or to do those things. We are obedient to things, but the body of Christ is built and encouraged, which is us. We're also the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Father. I mean, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he is one with the Father. Actually, that'll come later on also. There's the witness to others. The gospel's taken around the world. Now, one of the things we should really be excited, if you think about it, it is by far the most successful endeavor that's ever taken place on the earth, given its meek beginnings. I mean, the gospel has just about reached around the world. It's there. Also, to the glory of God. Are we ashamed? I mean, that's sometimes it's something I have to ask myself. Am I really ashamed? Is that why I don't speak out more? I mean, our religion, no one's religion is really private. I mean, atheists have no problem telling you they don't believe in God. I mean, and others. I mean, I've run into Hindus, I've met a few of those, Buddhists. And actually, they shouldn't be. If they actually believe in something, I mean, there is that give and take, but, you know, to be ashamed, but we are not showing shame gives glory to God. I mean, it's interesting that when Moses was on the mountain and God was angry and he said, I'm going to wipe out this nation and I'm going to build up a nation through you that will give me honor. And Moses fell on his face and said, Lord, if you do that, you will dishonor yourself. Because Egypt will say, look, just took all these guys out and killed them in the desert. Powerful God, but, you know, Do you really want to serve him? But that's why he chose Moses. He knew Moses would intercede for his own people. Intercession is also something, prayer, that's there. The other thing in the purpose of obedience is it's future-oriented, looking toward our blessed hope. Just like, and that's why I mentioned it in the ordinance we just completed, communion, it says, in death till I come. He's always, if you look in the Bible, it's amazing how many times if the Lord commands something, it's tied into saying you're preparing for what's ahead. And so obedience is very future-oriented. So is the gospel. Actually, obedience is part of the gospel. It's how it's proclaimed in many ways also. Now, I'm going to just mention briefly disobedience. Disobedience is sin. It's how we got here. It's how our human nature is structured. It is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Disobedience, sin, it's marked by selfishness, it's me-centered, it's arrogant, prideful, self-justifying, my rights supersede others. I mean, I don't always put it always in those terms. Disobedience can be done individually or by groups, but obedience can also be done individually or by groups. Go ahead and go to the next one. Now, I chose this, or actually, I didn't choose this. This is where the Lord told me to go and to speak about obedience is John 14. Now, part of it is I want you to set, and I'm going to go through this, but the setting here is really, again, it ties in. He had just told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. I mean, it's that evening where they had supper together. They broke bread and Jesus initiated and told them, do this in remembrance of me. When I'm gone, he's telling them, he told them, I'm leaving, is what he did. And he says, there's going to be some sad things as far as in your life ahead. So that's why the title, Jesus Comforts His Disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going, if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Now, what I want to see here, he is on his way to the cross. And he is telling them, I have prepared a place for you. He is saying, look beyond the cross. Look to the future. I'm not taking anything away from the cross, but he's saying, I am going. This is part of the preparation. It has to happen. And then he says, I will come back. He's encouraging them. Right there he's just saying, and he says that to us, I am with you always. And you take, and take you with me. You will be with me. And he says, you know the way where I'm going. So what, of course, is the response? Next page. Next slide. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? I mean, of course, we're sitting there, and you're going, you're telling us you're going somewhere, but you didn't. But if we know the way, how are we going to get there? Are we going to ride a donkey? Are we going to walk? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And of course, after that simple statement, very straightforward English. Well, I don't know if he used English, but Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. I mean, what did he just do? Anyway, but he says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Don't you know me? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. At least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these that I'm going on. Testimony. It's something that the Lord continues to do. He's still healing people. He's still doing these different things. And we participate. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, is that? Okay. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, this is a hard thing again. And again, it's not a lot of what I'm going to talk about, but I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified. But I'm emphasizing this is that part of obedience is the fact that we believe that we can do these things. Doesn't mean it's always going to go the way that we think it's going to, but through us, God does marvelous things. I mean, I can look back, and actually it's a lot of times it's better that I said or did something that I didn't even remember that I said and did, because later on I found out that, thank you, Lord, if I'd have known it, I'd had something to brag about, and that wouldn't have done me any good at all. But he has worked through me. I know it because people have told me, even though I didn't remember the incident. And so it's important that the Father is glorified. The Father was glorified the other day. Go ahead and go to the next page. Now, those things preceded this one that I showed you before. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to them. Now, it's very important. I mean, there's other places in the Bible that Jesus had to leave. He had to send the Holy Spirit. If you remember, we now have the whole Trinity involved. It isn't so mysterious to me anymore why the Holy Spirit had to come. Because I've experienced his presence with me. I've also experienced times when he wasn't so much with me. But it's one of the things you learn that I like it when he's there and when I can sense it. And Jesus says, I'm with you also. I mean, that's how he's with us, because we do have one God. It's just that there's three persons, and again, that's a mystery, but it's there. I will not leave you. I will come to you. Again, that future, looking forward to that. Go ahead and go to the next page. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken to, well, still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hands be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what the Father commanded me. Now, again, the Holy Spirit being sent to us. Now, notice that with the Holy Spirit and as a believer, since the Holy Spirit is with any believer, and especially for those that are Holy Spirit baptized, you have, the Father sends him, and he will teach you things. And he will remind us of what Jesus has said. Now, the neat thing is, we have the Word, and we have the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think about that, it's a very important thing, especially in this time, because there are people and there are places now in the world, even in the United States, Iowa State University will not allow at their hotel for the Gideons to put Bibles in their thing, because they said it's on a campus. That's not separation of church and state, that's establishing a religion. But I'm not going to make that argument here, and I might lose it if I wouldn't be able to stand up in a court of law anyway, as far as, I'm not worried about that. God is sovereign. But the thing that we need to know is that we have the Word, and even if we don't have the Word, we have the Spirit. Because the Word, at least in its physical form, might be taken away from us. But we have this. The other thing, which I should have highlighted also, is that peace that passes understanding. I mean, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. But notice, he's telling them point blank that he's leaving, but he does a lot of saying, you know, this connection between love and obedience. Now, God is love, and it's his love that he wants us to share, because he's telling us the Holy Spirit's within us. So we actually have God's love, which is initiating our ability to be obedient. The other thing he does down here at the bottom is he simply says, it talks about the prince of the world coming. Now, just meant he knew that he was going to have a confrontation with the devil. And he won. He knew what was going to happen. I mean, he knew, but that isn't the last confrontation in this world. But he comes so that the world may learn. I mean, it's interesting. The purpose of the devil's coming at that time and his crucifixion is so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what he has commanded me. Jesus' example of his obedience is tremendous. Come, let us leave. Let's go to Gethsemane. Okay, go on to the next one. And now, check my time. Okay. I just want to go through and just point out some of these other commands. I mean, the heart of the message is there in John 14. I mean, we have a love in us. It's called obedience. I mean, that's a neat thing, but it's God's love that's there because that's how we get it. Okay, go and make disciples. This is the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Again, a command, future driven. He's with us to the end of the age. Now, one thing, if you ever have doubts, don't worry about it. You're not alone. But the commands here, go and make disciples, baptize, teach. Teach them to obey. That's what a disciple does. Obeys. Okay, next one. Follow me. Now here, we have three examples, or actually these next three slides. I'll just read it. One day, Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, and they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat, and their father Zebedee repairing the nets. He called to them to come too, and they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Next slide. As Jesus went on from there, now notice this goes from Matthew 4 to Matthew 9. There is a time lapse in between here. He didn't go from the lake up here. There is a time lapse, but as Jesus went on from there, wherever they were, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth. He said, "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. Now, it's interesting. I mean, one of the things that you want to see in this is the following is a little bit different. I mean, Peter and James and John and Andrew, they left their parents and the other fishermen in their boats, and they just left. I mean, as far as we know, that's the way it sounds anyway. But here, Matthew follows Jesus all the way to his house, it almost sounds like. Matthew is definitely an evangelist. He wants his friends to know. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call the righteous, and I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, one thing we just need to emphasize here is he's calling sinners, calling people out of disobedience into obedience. That's what Jesus is doing all the time. Because if you are in disobedience, chances are you don't believe you are. Or you don't know who you're disobedient to, or you might disagree that you're being disobedient, or that you're even, you might even call yourself righteous. Some did. Some do. Even today, some people call themselves righteous. But if we look at it, we would probably argue differently. But sinners, one of the things that is very important here is that Jesus is after sinners because sinners know they need a Savior. It's that first relational, it's that relational thing. But again, our obedience and the following. Go to the next one. As they were walking, to follow is a decision to be led. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, there's two things I want you to see here. Is there were other people that desired or Jesus asked to follow them. The thing that is also here is that we don't really know for sure what happened here. But the command here in the following is the kingdom of God. There is something called the kingdom of God. We might also call it the body of Christ right now also. It's a kingdom that doesn't have necessarily physical boundaries, but it's there. But the other thing with this following and with this follow me, I put this here because the follow me goes out to a lot of people. There are people that don't immediately respond. Now, there's a couple of things that we want to think about here. And one is just simply, God wants our following to be a priority. But I know, even from my own life, there's times when I did not make my following Jesus my priority, even though I already knew him. And so when we look at this, the nice thing is God leaves it open-ended. That invitation is there to follow. Go ahead and go to the next. Now, the other thing that I see in this is the parable of the sower. And I was looking at this. The Lord reminded me because I was thinking about putting it in here. But with this, the seed is the word, but the seed is also us because the seed grows. I mean, we're dust. So the seed falls on dust, and then something is produced. But I was watching bicycles ride on the new path, and last fall, they had spread a whole bunch of grass seed. Well, you would think, the birds really ignored the grass seed, as far as I could tell. But a bicycle would go by, and all of a sudden, this grass seed would fly up, and some of it would actually end up in better dirt. So there is a hope for that seed. And rocky ground can be broken up. We can become better soil. We are going to fight, and part of what obedience does is helps us fight the thistles and the thorns that grow up amongst us. Okay, forgive. The Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they have heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. The Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Notice, prayer is a command. Three times in there, and then he says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, future. Is there right in that prayer. Give us today, present, our daily bread. We don't have to worry about tomorrow's bread because he'll give it to us today. And that's something we need to learn for this time also. He will provide. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Protection. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Now, this is one of those scary things. And that parable of the unforgiving servant. Forgiveness is very powerful. I mean, it's one thing if you read anything from the church in Iran or churches around the world, one of the things that they learn is to forgive. When their wife gets raped or their husband gets killed, it's usually one of the first announcements. And you read their stories, they're bitter. But yet, they forgive, and through that forgiveness comes healing that only the Lord can give. But it's important that if someone wrongs you, vengeance is not ours, it's the Lord's. And forgiveness is very important in our lives and our health, spiritual health and physical health both. Okay, go ahead and go on. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if you, let's see, I want to see where time's at. Okay. Which of you, if your son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? If then you, who are evil, who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up again the law and the prophets. Another summary of that. But thinking of asking, seeking, and knocking. Now the reason as being commands, we seek the Holy Spirit. We ask Jesus in prayer. The Word is a place where you can seek, where you can knock, where you can ask, because there's the Lord will answer through His Word. And then opportunities, you ask, seek opportunities, and you seek for the words to speak. You don't want your words to be your own. Next one. Honor the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm not going to read this whole thing through just simply because I want to save some time. But if we look at this, those first three commandments, just simply honoring the Lord. We're not going to make idols. We're not going to put anything before Him. But it's an honoring of Him. When we use His name correctly, I mean, it's amazing how it's the only name that people use. You don't ever hear Allah or Buddha or anybody like that. But that's only proof of the power of His name. But we honor Him when we use His name in a way that's respectful, when we honor Him, observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, one of the neat things is you look at Jesus, if you really look at those, I mean, the Pharisees were always telling Him that He was dishonoring the Sabbath, but He never dishonored the Sabbath. I mean, He said He said He was the Lord of the Sabbath, but He said, you yourselves do good things. If your child's in trouble, needs something, you're going to get it to him on the Sabbath day. If your cow falls in a pit, you're going to pull him out. There's nothing wrong with doing good things, but we do want to honor the Lord a day of the week. Rest. Give the people that you are responsible for. At that time, it included slaves, the servants, different things like that. But we're responsible for our children, different ones that work for us or for employers. We have a responsibility to give them some time to rest and to be with the Lord. Next one. Parents, again, honor your father and mother. It's right there. There's also a blessing that you may live long. Honoring parents. I mean, one of the things, and when I look at this, and it was one of the things that struck me as we've been, I mean, we've been dealing with this abortion thing ever since that leak. And the Lord, one of the things that the Lord has told me to do, and it's just been amazing. He says, notice how they don't like to use the word woman anymore. And that's because he said, I have honored women. They were the first ones. I mean, they carried out the first commandment. Be fruitful and multiply. I mean, Adam was also involved. But God has brought all human life into existence through women. And if women don't feel honored by the fact that that was a responsibility that he gave to them, they should rethink. It's very honorable. I mean, how did Gabriel treat Mary? I mean, he says, you're honored of women. I mean, there are people that don't have children, but Deborah led people into war. I mean, they've had many positions if you look at it. And then the last five, not murdering, not committing adultery. How do we honor the people around us? Do we treat them honorably? I mean, if you're murdering somebody, which if you hate somebody, I mean, I'm sorry, no matter where you're at, if you hate Donald Trump, that means you're capable of hating. And that's something we need to be, I mean, if you are able to hate someone, you better, again, well, we'll get to it in a minute. Take your thoughts captive. Go to the next one. The ordinances. Again, we went through this, but baptism, we are told to be baptized. It is an obedience. Once you're saved, you should be obedient. Even when I look back, if Lutherans are having to listen to this or other Reformed, there's nothing, I mean, the dedication or what they would call infant baptism is still an obedience, but it's an obedience by the parents, which is great. Parents should be obedient in bringing their children into the presence of the Lord. And when I was a Lutheran, I believed that the Holy Spirit was present in that infant baptism. But I also believe he's present in the dedication. The Holy Spirit wants to draw people, and he's not going to let, we have to be there. Once you have believed, you should get baptized. I mean, that I will say that point, because that's an obedience that you do and your parents didn't do. But it is important, that baptism. And do this in remembrance of me, the communion. Go ahead and go to the next one. Gratitude. So then, just as you receive Christ, Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live with him, rooted and built up and strengthened in the faith you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, we are called to peace, and be thankful. Be thankful. And then down here, therefore, since we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. Gratitude is a powerful thing in your life. It will bring health. It will chase away the enemy. It can break a lot of things. The healing of the 10 lepers, remember, only one returned to thank the Lord. Next one. Take every thought captive. For we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish an act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. I believe this is one of the, or I've found, at least in these last few years, I mean, it's more one of those things where I didn't think about it much when I was younger, but these last few years, when a thought will come into my mind, and I have to really be careful when I watch the news, when I read something, when I do that, as I go, okay, Lord, what do I get out of this? Do I just leave this alone? Lord, do I dwell on this at all? Do you have something to say about this? Otherwise, I've got to put it out of my mind, because I am not going to get myself upset over something that's there. Abortion has been around for 5,000 years. It's been wrong the entire time. It's not going to go away just because Roe versus Wade's gone. But even if they reinstitute it, it's not going to make it right. God is the author of life, and we belong to God. And there's other things as well as that. It's interesting, and I don't really, but it's interesting that once it says that we're ready to punish an act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. In some ways, that's telling me, before you go looking at somebody else's, it's sort of like the log in the eye type of thing. It's like, Lord, is my obedience complete yet? I mean, use that as a check just to say, am I fully obedient yet before I start really worrying too much? I mean, that's how we can develop our relationships within the body, within the church, within our neighborhoods, with people. It's, okay, go ahead into the next one. Okay, now, again, well, this is on that paper back there, but the building of faith, the relationship, the witness, the glory to God, the future orientation, I want you to see that in obedience. It's also in the gospel. Okay, next one. The future orientation, I think I'll end with this one. This is Peter, chapter 4. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and be so of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I believe that's just a good conclusion. There are a couple more slides, but that's okay. Our relationships are built around this. We are in... I mean, we've been in the last days since Jesus departed. And he is coming again. I mean, that's one of the things that, the Jews knew he was coming when he came, and yet many of them denied that he came then. But this time, when he comes, he's not coming as a baby. And there are going to be a lot of people waiting for him. I really believe, and I'm just going to... the parable of the 10 virgins, I mean, this is one of the things that the Lord just kind of showed me as I was preparing this. Obedience is how you restore the oil in your lamp. It isn't your salvation. Your salvation you already have through his death and resurrection, and it's a very important thing, but obedience really does prepare you for what's ahead. And this is a time when obedience is going to become very important. Because if we are going to show ourselves faithful to the Lord during this time, and abortion is, and that what's going on right now in our nation, it isn't a big deal so much as to where we stand on getting a vaccination or not getting a vaccination. That was just a small test that came along. But when it comes to life, when it comes to certain issues, there are things that the Lord really is very tender to his heart. And obedience is also one of those things, but it's something that can build us up. People need us to be obedient so that the world can see Christ. Lord, I just pray that that you will encourage us through your Holy Spirit to be obedient to the calling that you have for us as individuals, but especially, Lord, I just pray to pour out your Spirit upon this church, this body right here, that we will see you working in this community and around. In Jesus' name.